May 17th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Let me tell you what we have coming up for you today. Now, I've got a rather short stack of the Epstein stuff. And I don't know, maybe we're sick of it, maybe we're not. It's still the top story. It's still the top trend. But there's some other ripples we're going to look into today. And then really the big news would have to be the statements from Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt today answering some of these questions and then going against some of some other White House or D.C. Trump administration involved people that were giving out bad intel to people in the media. And now she's having to run back to the podium to try to correct all of that today. And so the whole thing is just a mess. And it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. And I'll leave it at that for now. But I told you yesterday that today's story was going to be Trump's health problems. And now you see it. So I'm telling you today, it could happen as soon as tonight. But now the next big story is going to be new Trump Epstein connections. So, you know, Trump did this to himself. And it's not even about, let's say, Epstein hooking him up with some hot 20-year-old 40 years ago. It's the fact that he came out and insulted his base and said it was a hoax. And so the whole thing is just crazy, and I don't want to get into all of it now. We'll get into it coming up, but it's just going to get worse. So, told you the hell story would pop today. It could be as soon as tonight, could be tomorrow, could be next week. There'll be another Epstein story. And they're running around trying to cover your ass right now. And they're running around telling all these different people different things. Folks, they can't even get their messaging straight. And the whole thing is just totally out of control. Just completely out of control. So we'll analyze all of that. But we do have other news. I got a big stack over here with some geopolitical news. And really, Israel is making a mockery of Donald Trump at this point. They're making a mockery of Donald Trump. They're making a mockery of this White House. And they're basically just flipping America the middle finger and saying, there's nothing you can do about it. We own you, and we have no respect for you. And then they say that, and then Donald Trump does exactly what they want, and then they do whatever they want, and then you're told you're winning. It's not good. So we'll have updates on that. And then another Trump policy from yesterday that looks like a swing and a miss that was supposed to be, you know, some minor victory we thought. It looks like that's just going to be another swing and a miss. Now, the problem is you're not going after the deep state. Oh, we got Maureen Comey. Yeah, after she did the cover up. She did her job. Maureen Comey covered up the Maxwell case, the Epstein case, and the Diddy case. And then she's fired. Oh, perfect. Way to go. Good job, Maureen. Congratulations. Now, retire. And then we can take a look at how bad the economy has gotten. And that's not something that's just on Trump. That's something that's been going on for our entire lives. But when you look at it by the numbers, it's quite shocking. And when you go back in time and you look at how much things used to cost and affordability compared to now, it's definitely shocking. And then you got the Democrats stealing money with the high-speed rail. Oh, we're going to shut it down. No, you need to be launching investigations where the hundreds of millions of dollars went. So they say, well, we sent a bunch of money to California for a high-speed rail. They haven't laid a single rail, so we're canceling the project. Okay, that's good. Now, how about a criminal investigation? And right now, it is a painful death. Not a slow death either. It is moving at light speed, ladies and gentlemen, and it's about to get worse. And just so you understand, if you tuned in yesterday, and I actually shot a report on it before I went on air, and then I told you on air, I said, the next big story to drop is going to be about Trump's health. And then it dropped today, and then the White House had to address it, and we'll get those comments coming up. So just understand, you're getting the true DC insider information here. And you can only imagine the rumors that are going around DC right now, going around the House, going around the Senate, going around the media, dealing with this Epstein stuff. And perhaps just for a better understanding, you know, most people in DC, when you reach a certain point in media, you know, yeah, you might be right, you might be left, maybe like Democrats, Republicans, whatever, but you kind of reach a certain point where your political leanings don't even matter. And you're just trying to get to the bottom of a story. And so, I mean, let's say it like this. Even the Trump-friendly media that runs around D.C. and has access to the White House, even their ears are perked on this Epstein stuff. And I mean, this is why you're hearing about all of these different agencies closing their press rooms. Notice how silent Dan Ratcliffe is. Notice how Tulsi Gabbard has been pretty much completely sidelined. These things are all connected. But you can only imagine the rumors going around in D.C. right now. Now, I'm not going to report to you the rumors, but I am going to tell you this. Just like I told you the health story would drop today. There's going to be new Trump Epstein connections. Now, some of it's going to be like old recycled news that was really never a big deal at the time. And I think Trump is trying to protect his family to a certain extent. I'll leave it at that for now. But would you be surprised if Epstein introduced some young ladies to Donald Trump to go hang out at Mar-a-Lago? And by young, I mean 20s. Let's be clear. Would that surprise anybody? Would it really matter that much? Well, they're going to dig in, folks. They're going to find every connection. They're going to find every old story. They're going to try to tie in as many members of the Trump family as they can. These stories could start dropping as soon as tonight, but by sometime next week, you're going to start seeing this stuff. And there's just no going back now. There's no going back now. And it's like I explained yesterday where it didn't have to be this way. And you can even use the divorce analogy. Because it's very fitting. You go through a divorce with your wife and everybody knows stuff, nasty stuff comes out. And when it's, you know, public stuff or high profile stuff, it's like, yeah, you get skeletons fall out of that closet. It gets nasty. And so that's what this is like. Trump said he's done with us. And so he's declared a divorce. And so now we're going through the divorce proceedings and it's like, well, okay. Believe me, a lot of the people that are going to be reporting this stuff are not anti-Trump, folks. They're not Democrats. But Trump said, shut up. I'm over you. Quit talking about it. So, yeah, they're going to dig in and find everything now. And it is the mother of all Streisand effects. And they know, even if they dig up stories from the 80s or 90s, and it's not even stuff that's illegal, and they put it into a story and they make these connections, it's going to be huge. So that's where it's going to go next. It could happen tonight, tomorrow, next week, but it's happening. And it's going to get so bad because it's going to reach this point where Trump just can't declare ignorance anymore. You know, this whole act like, oh, Epstein had no influence or nobody knew him or he was a loser or I didn't know him. Huh. It's going to become undeniable now. And it didn't have to be this way. You divorced us. You wanted to get the, you wanted it to get nasty. And so when I close out the show with that rant, we ram heads. And so you rammed heads with us. And you really underestimated it. And I think that that's a major factor here because I look at the angle of the White House and I look at the angle of Trump specifically. Is it incompetence? Because what are the odds? Is it a coincidence? Is it incompetence? Is it a cover up? What are the odds that Trump surrounds himself with all of these people that are connected to the Epstein case? What are the odds? He's got Bill Barr in there. He's got Kavanaugh. He's got Acosta. He's got Lutnick. Maybe more. What are the odds? Is that a coincidence? Is that a cover up? What are the odds? And it's all happened in his administration. And it kind of got skipped over. But when he told the media from the White House that Epstein, that it was all under Biden, that's just wrong. So, okay, so why is Trump trying to convince the American people that all of this happened under Biden when Epstein was re-brought in the first Trump administration and killed himself in prison, right, in the first Trump administration? And then he tells the media from the Oval Office yesterday, no, that happened in the Biden administration. Well, no, it didn't. Are you having a Biden brain problem? Or are you lying? But it kind of hit me as I'm watching this play out. Because now it's going to become this issue of if you don't come out and demand the Epstein files be released, then people are just going to assume you're somehow complicit or a part of it. And aside from the obvious angle that people are trying to distract from and cover up, which is the intelligence asset, specifically Mossad and Maxwell, the other phenomenon here is, and maybe this is where Trump is getting it wrong, but where I see kind of the old guard Republican media, the old guard conservative media is totally getting it wrong. And it hit me when I saw this yesterday from Riley Gaines. Now, Riley Gaines is the female swimmer who lost to the 6'3" male, Leah Thomas, formerly Billy Thomas or something from Austin, Texas, but couldn't compete against men in college. Used to swim here in Austin in high school. Couldn't compete against men in college, so decided to say, oh, I'm a woman, I'm going to compete against women. Breaks the NCAA records, beats Riley Gaines. So Riley Gaines comes out and stands against it, takes a stand, becomes a hero on the right wing, becomes a big tool for Republicans in election cycles to stand against men and women's sports. And now she's cemented. She's a hero. She is cemented in the right wing as a media figure, as even a heroic figure. And this is a young girl, probably like 24, 25. And so she's come out and she says this yesterday. Was it stupid and foolish when Trump campaigned on releasing the files? Are Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and Alina Hubba all foolish and stupid for peddling this for the past 6 months? Why on earth is he doing this? So Riley Gaines coming out against the Epstein cover-up. And then I see she's getting attacked. They're attacking her. Oh, how dare you against Trump? Oh, you betray MAGA, all this other stuff. And it hit me as I'm watching this. And again, I'm not making a blanket statement here. I'm not making a blanket statement about an entire group of people. I don't do the generational warfare thing, but I can make fair observations. And so it hit me Because it's one thing when you're just getting attacked and it's just like, okay, it's just all, you know, front-facing attack on you. But then you see other people getting attacked and you're like, well, wait a second. What do we all have in common? What do the people attacking them have in common? And so it hit me. The old guard Republican establishment, the conservative incorporated, as it's been called, they really thought that they could use the younger generations, and we're talking maybe 50 and older, 60 and older, the old guard. If you want to go generationally, like boomer generation, again, not making a blanket statement. But what I noticed was it's the old guard conservative establishment, probably mostly above 50 years old, above 60 years old. And they wanted to use people like Riley Gaines in an election cycle for the Republicans to get power. But now that the Republicans are in power, and now that Riley Gaines has a huge following and a huge platform and big influence and has opinions and thoughts on politics, now they're saying, we're not interested in your opinion. Yeah, we built you up and we used your testimony and your likeness to help Republicans win and get legislation passed, but we don't want to hear from you anymore. We don't want to hear about you or the Epstein files or your opinions on anything. Now, I'm using Riley as an example, but this is the case for many such people. Maybe to a lesser extent me, because I didn't really get, you know, indoctrinated into mainstream conservatism like she did. But it's still the same phenomenon. Well, you can't do that. And Riley was younger, probably like 10 years younger than me. But they have this idea at the top, the old guard, the older generation Republicans, conservatives, they have this idea that they can just now push us back to the kiddie table and say, you're not really a serious person. Go back to the kiddie table. We don't want to hear from you anymore. We still run the show. And we're saying, not so fast. Not so fast. No. We do get a seat at the table. We have come of age. And maybe this is what you haven't realized yet. We're in control of the new media. You can't bury us. You can't take it. You can't tell us to go to the kiddie table and shut up and say the adults are talking. No, can't do that. And you can't bury us because we are in control of the new media now. And I even think they fall for their own propaganda to an extent, and they just think, well, we still run Fox News, and we still own Fox News. You know, Riley Gaines was a regular guest on Fox News. And I know exactly what you're doing over there at Fox News. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to go into it. But they still believe it's just like, well, whatever we give them on Fox News, that'll control the narrative. Whatever we don't give them on Fox News, that'll get buried. You're wrong. And I guess Trump and the old guard Republicans telling you to get over the Epstein thing, I guess they just haven't realized it yet. It just hasn't hit them yet. So you can tell Riley Gaines, oh, go back to the kiddie table. The adults are talking. And think you can bury her. You can't. You can't do it to Riley Gaines. You can't do it to Owen Schroyer. You can try to do it to Charlie Kirk, but he's not going to be able to keep that beach ball underwater. You just can't. We've come of age. We have a seat at the table. And I think more importantly than getting into maybe the infighting angle would be to say this. Why is the Epstein list so important to us? Why is it an issue that we won't stop talking about? Because we believe, and really there's no pushback on this, which shows you how the whole thing is a cover-up, quite frankly. But there's no pushback here. We believe the government is corrupt. We believe the centralized power in our establishment institutions is corrupt. Virtually the entire establishment power structure we believe is corrupt. Now, we don't get any pushback there. That seems to be a general understanding. But to look at it through a specific lens or a specific issue like the Epstein list, we believe that full disclosure and full exposure of the Epstein list, the Epstein clients, and everything else they were up to will be like pulling the thread that will eventually unravel all the political corruption. So that's why we can't let it go. And maybe to even take it to another level, and this is where people do kind of get into generational warfare with it. Younger people are saying, look at what the boomers have left us. Look at what you've left us. You've left us massive debt. You've left us an entrenched military-industrial complex. You have left us a complete disaster of a country that you inherited that we're now trying to fix. And it ties into other issues where there's the generational gap like foreign aid and Israel. But we're sitting here saying you have left us a mess of a country. And we don't want to leave that for our lineage. We don't want to leave that for future generations. And we believe the Epstein list, pulling that thread, is part of the process of getting things back in the right direction, getting our government back under our control for the people, and stopping all of the sordid corruption in what we believe is the most powerful, influential establishment institutions with all the centralized power and influence in our country, blackmailed, run by blackmailed perverts and financial criminals. So you're not going to tell us to shut up about it. And we're not going to shut up about it. So yeah, the younger people, we don't want in your wars that you're going to leave us anymore. The younger people, we don't want to be entrapped in these foreign aid fraud schemes that you're trying to leave us. We don't want to be left with a foreign policy dictated by a foreign country. And we don't want to be left with a system run by blackmailed perverts and financial criminals. And no matter how many times you ask us to stop talking about the Epstein list, it's not going to happen because we correlate that to exactly what it is we're trying to fix. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to play the clips of Caroline Leavitt today at the White House. But now it's going to become a much bigger issue for Trump personally. It's going to become a much bigger issue for Republicans and conservatives, whether you're in politics or media, because this thing is only getting more out of control and people are going to start coming out and start saying things just to clear their names or just to say, I have integrity. I have reputational standards I want to adhere to. I will not stop talking about the Epstein list, or I'm a politician. I'm running for office again. I know it's popular to come out and ask for the Epstein list. So I, as a member of Congress, Democrat or Republican, I'm going to say, release the list. So this thing is just going to get worse. And then, I mean, you can try to make Bondi the fall person on this, but it ain't going to work. That's not going to work. And the whole thing is such a mess that they've got different people. They can't even get their messaging straight. And that's what happens when you lie. They've spun a web of lies with this Epstein cover up. And now they can't even get their story straight. So they've got one White House spokesperson going over here and saying one thing, another White House spokesperson going over here and saying another thing to try to do damage control. And then it gets right back to Donald Trump and he says, nope, not doing it, not doing the Epstein stuff, shut up. Now, is President Trump protecting himself? Is he protecting people around him? Is he protecting people in his administration? Is he protecting friends of his, family of his? Well, You might get a better idea of that soon. You might get a better idea of that. And it didn't have to go there, but he filed for the divorce the other day, and so now you're going through divorce proceedings. So today it was the hell story, as I told you. That's going to be Epstein stuff. Like I said, it might drop before I'm even off air. So if anything happens, I'm sure they'll put it up on Drudge. But the crew will pull it up. It could happen before I'm even off. But now, I mean, folks, they're so in deep now. The FBI is virtually paralyzed. And luckily you do have good people there that are actually doing real operations and real cop work and busting up pedophile rings and other such criminal stuff that's going on. That is happening. But at the top, it's just full damage control now. And they're trying to stop stories from getting out. And they're trying to negotiate other deals for personal benefits. And I still think Bongino is probably just soul searching. He doesn't even know what to do. He probably does know what to do, but it's like, he knows if he leaves, he embarrasses Trump in the White House. He knows if he stays, he embarrasses himself. So, it's really sad to see it go south so fast. And this hubris, pretending like you can move on without MAGA, without Trump's base from 2015, is just hilarious. Trump doesn't have to win re-election, so he probably doesn't even care. He's got other motives. But this will cost the Republicans the midterms at this rate. And the powerful political coalition that we called MAGA is going through divorce proceedings now with Trump. And it's getting nasty. And if you think all these newcomer MAGAs, if you think they're going to be in the streets for you and fighting for you, you got another thing coming, Jack.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's at an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda. Featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision, this dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
You know, I'm always seeing these comments, and we have fun in the break sometimes with the great crew. Oh, and you're going to be wrong. Trump's playing 30D chess. Trump's got him in a trap. You know, we have a good laugh. And I will be so happy if that happens. And in all the people that are saying, Schroyer sold out, fake MAGA, Trump's got him in a trap. He was playing him the whole time. It's Q. When that day, I don't even care if you want to gloat and rub it in my face. I will gladly eat the crow. I will be so happy. So, you know, have your little victory laps prematurely if you want. I'll be thrilled if that happens. I'll be so happy to be wrong if that happens. But I doubt you'll have so much humility when it doesn't. So it looks like it's already getting out there, folks. Sean Spicer, Mark Halperin, blockbuster Trump Epstein expose reportedly imminent. I don't think Trump was doing anything illegal, but this is going to implicate Trump, maybe his family, and maybe members of his administration. And again, who knows? You meet Epstein at a golf club or something, and you know he's got some beautiful women there. And you're like, oh, hey, you know, she's single? Yeah. Like, wow, that's a 23-year-old blonde beauty right there. She's single? Like, yes, she is. And like, oh, would you guys like to come to my club next week? Sure. Okay, yeah. Oh, get on an airplane. No, go down to the club. And now you have Dershowitz. I'm like 50-50 on even to get into the Dershowitz angle. Because it's like, on one hand, I give him credit. If you trust him, but on one hand, I give him credit because he's being very transparent about stuff. But then on another hand, you look into some of the other involvement, some of the other things he's done, and you're saying, well, wait a second now. So this was the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt answering some of these questions. First, let's go right into the Epstein case. Will there be a special prosecutor, a special counsel, clip 12?
Well, the idea was floated from someone in the media to the president. The president would not recommend a special prosecutor in the Epstein case. That's how he feels. And as for his discussions with the attorney general, I'm not sure. Deanna.
Caroline, thank you.
She's not sure. Well, nobody's really sure about the attorney general at this point. So let me explain. Let me translate. This thing is such a mess. And I mean, you know, you can't blame Trump for everything. He's still the president. He's still got to meet with foreign diplomats. He's still got to handle other business with his administration. So obviously he can't sit here and do the Epstein stuff 24/7. But because there was so little coordination on all of this, he had surrogates going on media saying, well, there'll be a special counsel. He had surrogates giving information to other members of the media saying, oh, yeah, Trump's going to call for the special counsel. And then it gets brought to Trump, and he says, absolutely not. And Karoline Leavitt has to go out and correct the record for all of it. I start to wonder if Karoline Leavitt isn't going to go the way of Jen Psaki. I'm telling you, folks, this isn't fun. I want to be here doing victory laps, but this thing is falling apart. And yeah, Trump does have some health issues. He's 80 years old. He's still extremely impressive for an 80-year-old. And I think his mental faculties are still on point, but I mean, you're 80 years old. Maybe Trump needs to take like a weekend or like a week golf trip or something. Just go hit the links, President Trump. Go play some golf. Go out with some of your friends. Get away from all of this. Clear your head. Get back to your instincts. Because his instincts are so good. His instincts have always been good. But then he gets all these people around him manipulating him and feeding him bad information and bad polls and all this other stuff. And it's just like, go with your instincts. It's like, go with your instincts when you were going after Obama years ago. Go with your instincts when you were going after Clinton. Go with your instincts on foreign policy in the Middle East. It's like your instincts are there every time. And when it's just you and you're talking to the media, or it's just you and you're talking to the American people, your instincts are right. And then you get all these corrupt sons of bitches around you with all their own agendas, and they feed you a bunch of lies and propaganda and manipulate you, and then everything goes haywire. So, we told you yesterday the big story today was going to be the health, and Caroline Leavitt had to address that earlier today in clip 11.
Note, I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel, coagulation profile, D-dimer, B-type natriuretic peptide, and cardiac biomarkers. All results were within normal limits. An echocardiogram was also performed and confirmed normal cardiac structure and function. No signs of heart failure, renal impairment, or systemic illness were identified. Additionally, recent photos of the president have shown minor bruising on the back of his hand. This is consistent with minor soft tissue irritation from frequent handshaking and the use of aspirin, which is taken as part of a standard cardiovascular prevention regimen. This is a well-known and benign side effect of aspirin therapy. And the president remains in excellent health, which I think all of you witness on a daily basis here. So the president.
So there you go. Never doubt me, folks. Now, the next statement from White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt will take us in a different direction, and it'll lead me into this stack of geopolitical news, but you have to wonder why, and maybe it does tie into the Epstein stuff, because maybe the Israelis are the only ones with the actual blackmail and files now. Because if Trump is claiming, if it's true, that the Democrats altered the files, well, then that's a crime, and so there should be criminal investigations and prosecutions. But notice how nobody's calling for that, nobody's doing that. Is that because Pam Bondi is worthless, or because you're lying? Israel has attacked multiple Christian holy sites in this current five-front war that they're launching against all of their neighbors, including recently attacking a Catholic church and killing multiple people. So Israel is just embarrassing this entire administration. They're just dog walking them, showing America that this administration is Israel's bitch. So Leavitt had to address this in clip 13.
Caroline, go ahead.
Caroline, good afternoon, Caroline. In Gaza today, Holy Family Catholic Church was struck by an Israeli shell.
Yes.
Three people were killed, 10 wounded. What is the president's reaction to that church coming under fire?
It was not a positive reaction. He called Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning to address the strikes on that church in Gaza. And I understand the Prime Minister agreed to put out a statement. It was a mistake by the Israelis to hit that Catholic church. That's what the Prime Minister relayed to the president. And you should look at the Prime Minister's statement.
It was a mistake. Now, supposedly, this was hit by a tank, multiple rounds from a tank. Now, I've never operated a tank in real life, So I can't say I'm the expert here. You know, I have played a few games like Call of Duty or some such where you can operate a tank. But I don't know. Is that really a mistake to point your barrel at a church and then hit fire multiple times? It's like, oops, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what's going on. It's all a mistake. Boom. Oh, accidental. Boom. Oh, my. Israel says it was just a mistake. It was just a mistake. Oh, they're bombing Damascus, a holy site for Christians. Oh, they're bombing Catholic Church. Oh, they're attacking. It's just a joke. But it's actually even worse. Because 2 days ago, I guess Israel is telling the White House or Trump, they're like, hey, we're about to bomb five countries here and we're about to expand. So I guess they're telling Trump this, and now you can kind of see all the pieces falling into place. I don't know, maybe Trump's a part of it, but I think they're calling the White House and they're saying, hey, we're about to take land in the West Bank. We're about to take the whole Gaza Strip. We're going to take this major land in Syria. We're hoping to get something from Jordan, something from Lebanon, you know, maybe with some regime change in Iran, eventually use that for our agenda as well. So Rubio or Trump himself is saying, hey, you need to knock it off. You're embarrassing us. You're not bringing peace to the world. You're hurting yourselves on the world stage. You need to stop. And now we're seeing the whole Syria agenda and how they basically just took over. Israel's tried to conquer Syria so they can move all the Palestinians over there and then take the Gaza Strip. Same with the West Bank. So that's all it was about. They wanted to topple Syria, put their controlled opposition in there, and then eventually take the land to resettle everybody out of the land that they're about to take. But so they had this conversation 2 days ago, and the White House specifically said to Israel, stop it, knock it off, stop all the bombing, stop all the killing. This was 2 days ago. U.S. asks Israel to stop airstrikes on Syrian forces, stop attacking South Syria. Israel bombs Syrian capital despite U.S. pressure to stand down. So they just blatantly said, no, thank you. Greatest ally. That's the divorce. Imagine that. Trump could have divorced from the greatest evil force in the world right now, the Netanyahu Israel-led government, and instead he divorced with MAGA. Israel bombards Syria's Damascus as U.S. says to stop violence. And it was their impression that Israel agreed that they would stop the violence, and now they're just killing hundreds. Hundreds in Syria, hundreds in Jordan and Lebanon, and tens of thousands in the Gaza Strip. It'll never end. Killing Christians. The Trump administration begs, like, can you just stop the killing, please? Can you just take a break from the bloodshed, please? Say, oh, yeah, sure. And then 24 hours later, bomb. Bomb a Catholic church. Bomb Damascus. Kill more Christians. They killed an American. Yeah. Rubio says U.S. very concerned over Syria violence. Trump administration tried to stop Israeli strikes, and it failed. And they're trying to run this propaganda, too, where they're showing an image. It's amazing. And look, there's all kinds of propaganda that come out of that region, okay? That's why I try not, I don't even show most of the stuff. I don't show most of the stuff that's going on in Gaza and all the other videos, and I don't show other stuff because I don't know what's real and what's not. And some of it's been proven fake, like the fake AI burned up babies. And then there's other videos where it shows people that are dead, and then they start moving around, smoking a cigarette. So I just don't even show this stuff. But I saw one propaganda campaign where they're trying to pretend like the church wasn't completely destroyed. And this is how you know it got hit with multiple rounds. So there was a first strike on this church that didn't completely destroy it. So all the pro-Israel accounts are sharing this image of the church with like a little couple bricks missing. And they say, oh, it's a lie. Nobody destroyed a church. Well, that's propaganda. They're showing you an image before the second strikes. Oh, it's an accident. Strike it again. So, no, this is the actual result right here. And there's other images. The actual result is, no, you destroyed the church and you killed multiple people inside and you did it on purpose. You're dirty, rotten liars. You're disgusting. And it's disgusting this administration continues to support it. But you know what's amazing? The cross is the only thing standing in the aftermath. The IDF tried to completely destroy a church, killed multiple people inside, said it was an accident. The only thing standing was the cross. The only thing standing was the cross. And you know what? Maybe that wasn't such an accident from the Almighty. Little reminder. Cardinal Pizzaballa. What we know for sure is that a tank, the IDF says by mistake, but we're not sure about this, hit the church directly. The Church of the Holy Family, the Latin Church. Yeah, everybody knows they did it on purpose. It was no mistake, folks. They're lying. They're dirty, rotten liars. They're killers and liars. Pope Leo put out this statement. His Holiness, Pope Leo, was deeply saddened to learn of the loss of life and injury caused by the military attack on the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. There's another church they attacked. And he assures the parish priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli, and the whole parish community of his spiritual closeness in commending the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of Almighty God. The Holy Father prays for the consolation of those who grieve and for their recovery of the injured. His Holiness renews his call for an immediate ceasefire, and he expresses his profound hope for dialogue, reconciliation, and enduring peace in the region. It just so happens this church in Gaza, the last pope used to call every day and pray, because obviously Israel basically just destroying the entire region. So Pope Francis would call them every day and pray with them that the IDF would not destroy their church and kill their people. Well, and now they have. And now Israel's going back for Iran. New assessment finds American strikes destroyed only one of three Iranian nuclear sites. Oh yeah, where do you think they're getting, where do you think they're getting that intelligence, guys? You think that's the CIA in there? Israel is preparing to bomb Iran again. Well, they have to. We didn't destroy the nuclear site, don't you know? So, you know, I don't know if you can say the same thing about this Trump Epstein thing, but I think I'm 99.9 why Trump is saying stop talking about the nuclear sites, because he's like, hey, we need peace. If we say the nuclear site wasn't destroyed, then Israel's going to come in and start bombing and start the war again and ask us to bomb again. So just say it was destroyed. Just leave it alone. Let it go. So I get that. But now it's Israeli intelligence, and it's everybody that wants regime change in Iran, and just, you know, the Israelis that just can't ever get enough blood. So, oh, we didn't destroy the sites. We need to go back in. And then they'll play the exact same game, and they'll say, oh, no. Don't worry. We can do it on our own. And then there'll be some strikes back and forth, and then Israel will come over and call the president and say, yeah, go bomb. Go bomb for us. Go bomb right now. And the president will have no choice. Why? I don't know. Take your guess. And we're spread so thin all over the world. U.S. military trains to defend Panama Canal from China threat. So they're concerned they might have to fight for the Panama Canal with China now. I've been telling you, folks, the world doesn't look at Trump the same. They don't fear Trump anymore. They don't take Trump seriously anymore. I'm not even sure how much they respect Trump anymore, to be honest. This isn't the first term. And they see Netanyahu making Trump his bitch. They see Trump talking a big game, but the military is spread so thin, they don't even know what to do. He's talking a big game all around the world, but he can't fight all these fights at once. So China's like, oh, maybe we take back the Panama Canal. Russia's like, oh, maybe we go into Kiev. Even Brazil. Brazil's President Lula says Trump was not elected to be emperor of the world as U.S.-Brazil spat escalates. What a sad turn of events. What a sad turn of events. Can't even get Mexico. Can't even get Sheinbaum in Mexico to work with him. Mexico considering legal action against ICE. They're saying, oh, ICE is killing a bunch of these people. Well, first of all, the specific incident they're talking about happened at that pot farm. The guy jumped off a roof. He jumped off a building running from ICE. So ICE shows up for law enforcement. He jumps off a building. And Mexico is going to sue ICE? How about we sue you? How about we sue you for the invasion? How about we sue you for all the cartel activity? Yeah. But see, this is just all signs, folks. Nobody's taking Trump as seriously as they once did. Nobody. And his big mouth isn't reverberating and making the noise that it used to. And they know at the end of the day, the foreign policy is going to be so caught up in Israel's desires that there's really nothing else that they can do. They're hollowing out our military for Ukraine. It's just a joke. It's all falling apart. And they keep detaining citizens with these ICE raids. Army veteran detained by ICE and California farm raid speaks out. You know, here's the problem. You know, we're for the raids and we're for deporting illegal aliens. And if you want to be aggressive about it, then you go after the real bad guys. You go after the real criminals in an aggressive fashion. But what's really going on is, you know, the Trump administration talks a big game and big victories, but behind the scenes, folks, they're desperate. They're desperate. They know the approval ratings are going down. They know MAGA is feeling disenfranchised. And all the propaganda and digital influence campaigns, it's not working. It's just not working. They totally underestimated the power of the original MAGA, the original Trump base, InfoWars audience, however you want to put it. So they need wins. And the mass deportations is like they figure the easiest win for them. They can't even, it's like a struggle just to do Doge cuts. They can't even get basic Doge cuts. So they need wins. So it's just like, oh yeah. All out raids, like force, show of force, cameras, like make sure everybody sees it. We want this show of force on these raids. And they run into this pot farm, kids run around, guys jumping off roofs, guy dies. It's all compensation for what is a failing administration pretending to be having all these victories. And this is what's ironic about it is if you want to do show of force raids, hey, we all want the deportations. We all want the bad guys, the criminals gone. If you want to get a win from a show of force raid because you blew this one, there's another loss. Totally bad optics. Again, I support the deportations, but you lost in the optics war and it didn't even give you much of a polling boost, if any at all. If you want to do show of force raids and you want to save this administration right now, at least in the short term, and you want to get a polling boost and declare a victory, you need to start doing raids on the deep state. You need to start doing raids on Epstein's clients. You need to start doing raids on the people that deleted the January 6th evidence and ran the January 6th sham committee. If you want to do show of force raids to show the American people you're serious, then you need to do it against the deep state criminals. You need to do it to Alejandro Mayorkas. You need to do it to the Biden crime family. Doing a show of force raids and sending the camera crews out there to capture it, thinking it's going to give you a victory and a polling boost when a bunch of kids are running around, jumping off roofs, ain't going to do it. And it didn't work. You want to do show of force raids? Go after the deep state. Go after Mayorkas. Go after the Biden crime.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feel really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical at the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest Ultra Monthly Blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing Monthly Blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe he forgets before he's going to go off to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like about 300 plus people we've given it to. Two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So stir it, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you.
We'll see. Most people, it takes within about 30 minutes. Starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's about the wing blue.
The show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So they just passed a bill in the House, guys, the anti-central bank digital currency bill. If you guys could just find a headline for that for me. We're actually going to have a guest coming on who's an expert in this. And he's going to talk about the central bank digital currencies and the Genius Act and this bill that just passed coming up here at 4:30. And this guest was actually recommended by General Flynn. I was speaking to General Flynn earlier. And he sent me this giant expose on the issue, and I said, well, are you doing interviews on this? He said, no, but I highly recommend this guy, so we got him on. So thank you, General Flynn, for that. And then Christian Briggs is going to be coming up in about 30 minutes. So we do have some developments today outside of the Epstein debacle. I think we're about to move on from that. A couple other stories here on my desk, but we got other news we're going to cover now. Folks, remember to support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. And really the best bang for your buck right now when it comes to health supplements has to be the Power Drive Combo Pack right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And you get 50% off this combo pack when you subscribe. And by subscribing, that means you get auto ship and guaranteed in stock plus the 50% off bonus. And, of course, supporting us in the process. The Power Drive Cellular Energy Bundle. These two products work synergistically together. Power Plant, Advanced Adaptogen, and Ultimate Mental Drive activate your cellular energy. 50% off this power pack, Power Drive, when you subscribe at thealexjonesstore.com. Don't forget to try all of the other great products that are there, the health products. We also just released another limited edition dagger. If you are into collecting our collectible limited edition coins and knives, another one for your collectors, or if you just need a high-quality dagger for whatever purposes, maybe self-defense or something else. Limited edition battle dagger with the Alex Jones signature on it. Comes in a very beautiful custom box with Alex Jones signature on it. On sale right now, limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. When you shop there, you support us. And also, with every item purchased, you get multiple entries into our raffle, which right now we are raffling off a Ford F-250 Lariat truck. Big, giant monster truck. A lot of fun. Big, beautiful, baby blue truck. But the only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and that is also the best way to support us. And so we thank you for that. All right, let's just do this before we hit this break and get back to the news. Dana White talking about the UFC America 250 event coming to the White House here in clip 9.
So I'm up at my house like every year in Maine at 4th of July. And I had texted with him three or four times that day. and he never told me he was announcing it. And then all of a sudden, my phone just starts blowing up. And then I start blowing Lene up, and but yeah, we're all going. But we had already done, you know, all the logistics. My team went out there and walked it. We're putting together the renderings. They should be done in the next 10 days. And then we're going to fly out to the White House and present it to him, see what he likes and what he doesn't like, and start working on it. And Ivanka is in the middle of this too. So, we will, yeah, I'm, you know, this is a sphere, one of one unique event that will never happen again. And I will blow the doors off this thing. I'm going to make this one of the greatest events of all time.
And are you thinking a full card, like full prelims, full main card, or just like a couple fights?
Nope. It'll be a full card, and it will be the best card we've ever done to date.
Wow. And we're talking on the lawn of the White House?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as of right now.
Can we get Musk Zuckerberg?
Set to be on the South Lawn. You know, he said we can move it over somewhere else for more people. I don't care if five people show up to this thing. I want to be on the lawn.
Hey, so that'll be fun. It'll be, you know, your gladiatorial event there at the White House, the bread and circus. Like, yeah, you know, we can't get peace. And, you know, who knows if the economy will ever be better, or the trade deals will work, or if we can get mass deportations or become, you know, sovereign from foreign countries and influence again. But hey, you know what? Hell with all that. We're going to have a big fight at the White House. Yeah, fight, fight, fight. Right?
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Remember when they tried to give us a lollipop yesterday? Can't stop and told us, we'll put real sugar back in Coke. That'll calm the people down. Well, this has two ironic twists to it, actually. Trump says Coca-Cola has agreed to use real cane sugar at his request. Well, Coca-Cola came out. Coca-Cola defends corn syrup after Trump claims he struck cane sugar deal and says they aren't sure they're actually giving up the high fructose corn syrup for cane sugar yet. But we appreciate Trump's enthusiasm for our product. So was that even true? Just take this as a comedy bit, okay? Because it's just, you know what it is? It's not Mexican Coke that he's talking about. It's not the Mexican Coke. It's literally kosher Coke. I'm not kidding you. You can look it up. And if you're Jewish, you probably know what I'm talking about. Coke has a kosher product. They specifically market it during Jewish holidays like Passover. It has a yellow cap on it. So it wasn't even the Mexican Coke like people talk about with the real cane sugar in the glass. It was the kosher Coke product that gets rid of the products inside of it that people of Jewish faith can't drink on certain holidays. So, yeah, it was. I'm saying it's just comedy, guys. Is everything for the Jews? Even the Coke gambit? It's a joke. I mean, the story is true, but even the Coke was for the Jews. Come on, man. Come on. Trump, we'd really like the Epstein files. Best I can do is Jewish Coke. It's best I can do. That's pretty good, guys, right? That's pretty good. Oh, man. That's funny. What type of Coke do you think Ivanka drinks? All right. All right. That's fun. We didn't even finish up with the Netanyahu stuff. We want the kosher Coke. We want the kosher Coke. No, I want the Mexican Coke in the glass bottle. And then I want to call it American Coke. Just like we renamed the Gulf of America. You're going to get kosher Coke. You've got Netanyahu out here bragging about how they're about to expand Israel into southern Syria. So just like people were talking about. So you got that going on. Very good. But where is his kosher Coke? I'm sorry. I can't let it go. It's too hilarious. Even the lollipop we got yesterday. All right. Enough with the stop with the kosher Coke, guys. Stop it. That'll be enough. At least put it in the glass. We want glass. Do you ever wonder what happened with glass? I guess plastic is more convenient. It's also way more toxic. Like, I saw these stories. They said, oh, we did studies, and it turns out glassware has more microplastics than plastic. Shut the hell up. Oh, yeah, the COVID vaccine is safe and effective, too. I mean, it's just like they just lie through these studies. So, oh, you're catching on to the microplastics. A bunch of different industries probably have self-interest in keeping the microplastic thing buried. So they then just say, no, glass is actually worst. Where's that headline? They're bragging about kosher Coke year-round, and tiny hats were flying in the air. Woohoo! Anyway. Whatever happened to glass products? Was it like a recycling issue? Because I actually admit, I get my raw milk in glass, but I can give that back to the farm, and then they just recycle and use the same glassware. But I get like my organic raw juice in glass too. So I've got like this whole stockpile. I've been meaning to take it to the recycling bin of just this glass that I get my raw juice in. But you can just recycle it. But why did we stop using glass? Was it like an industry issue? Was it like it was just cheaper to use it, more convenient? Maybe we need to re-examine that whole decision. Maybe we need to re-examine it. Or maybe we could find a way. If glass was kosher and plastic wasn't, that could be the solution. Maybe we could get Trump on it if that's the case. All right. Speaking of Netanyahu and Mossad's blackmail operation that also doesn't exist. And obviously, folks, Judge Napolitano is one of the most respected names out there. One of the most respected, credible names in right-wing media for decades. He does his show on YouTube now. One of the best interviewers and just sources for information you're not going to see in the mainstream. And so, you know, I've got sources. I'm not claiming to have the biggest sources, but I know good sources and I know people that feed me good information. Judge Napolitano's sources are probably way better than mine. So it sounds like he's getting a lot of the same intel here when he said this about the ongoing Epstein drama in clip 14.
I think Trump's name is on the list. I think Mossad knows it. I think Mossad told their American stenographer, who happens to be the director of the CIA, who takes down and regurgitates everything Mossad told him, and I think that stenographer whispered it into the president's ear, and he's terrified that this will come out because he knows it will be the beginning of the end, whether there's a Republican Congress or a Democrat Congress. That's what I honestly believe has happened. Now, obviously, I haven't seen the files.
So at this point, it feels inevitable. Now, again, Trump's name being on a list is, it could mean anything. I don't think Trump was doing anything illegal. I don't think Trump was doing financial crimes or crimes with minors. Trump, it's known he's flown on the jet. It's obviously well documented that he used to hang out with Epstein and party with him. So what does it mean that his name is on the list? I don't know. If it turns out Epstein was, you know, hooking him up with some 20-year-old hotties at his clubs, is that illegal? Because this is how these operations work. And Trump probably got wise to it, and that's eventually why he kicked Epstein out and cooperated with the FBI. But this is how these things operate. And again, it looks like Epstein was just probably the pimp, and he was probably blackmailed himself. And Maxwell was really the Mossad agent. So yeah, Epstein might have been an asset kind of running this operation. And it's like, hey, give him the island and he can have the New Mexico place where we're doing the clone crap. And then we can have him in New York where he's next door neighbors with some other powerful people that are in the Trump administration. So it's like you kind of just give Epstein all the money and everything and the jet. And then he's just kind of is the guy running it, but he's not really the agent. He's just like the fall guy. He's just like the prop guy. But, you know, he gets access to the nasty stuff that he's into and then protected by intelligence agencies and protected by governments. But that's what they do. They lure you in. It's like, oh, hey, oh, yeah. Oh, you like this girl over here? It's like, yeah, she's beautiful. She's single. She sure is. Oh, well, how old is she? She's 23. Just out of college. Like, really? Like, yeah, would you like to meet her? She's right over here. Yeah, come over here, sweetheart. Yeah, hey. Oh, nice to meet you. Yeah, very nice. Hey, you should come down to my club. Sure. Yeah, we'll hop on the jet next week. Yeah, we'll be down. Fantastic. Okay. All right. Now you got a little 23-year-old on your arm. Now, next thing you know, maybe she's 19. Next thing you know, you think she's 19. She's actually 16. Now what do you got? Now, I'm not saying that's what Trump was doing. I think Trump was into beautiful women. And you know, Epstein obviously tried to get into these circles of powerful, rich people. That was his job. That was Maxwell and Epstein's job, was to infiltrate these powerful, rich, influential circles. Oh, yeah, here's my 23-year-old friend. Sure, she'll fly out on your private jet. Absolutely. And then she's 19, and then she's 16. And then the next thing you know, you're at the island with Moloch over your head doing God knows what. So I think Trump drew the line at, you know, 20-year-old hot blondes, figured out what Epstein was doing, and said, get the F out of here. And when the feds come a-calling, I'm going to cooperate. And that's what all the other witnesses and everything say, too. So who is Trump protecting? What is he concerned about? Why this giant communications disaster? I suppose there's still the mystery element. You know, I got to say this, though. I don't really care to play the clip, but I did send it to the crew, just the quintupling down yesterday with Trump at the White House here in clip 10. But let me just, can I just say this real quick? I got to give it to Trump here. I mean, this has to be the best decor. I mean, this guy's got taste. I mean, can we put this on the screen here? I mean, come on. That is just, I don't know who's doing his interior design and matching it with his attire. But I think we can all say that is about as good as it gets. And actually, there's an even better shot, if the crew can even find it. There's a shot where if you zoom out and then they've got the presidential portraits above him in the gold frames. And they've got the tables with the eagles holding them up. And now they have the new gold chairs and couch and rug. So, I mean, he's definitely marketing this golden age. Is he going to deliver on it is another story. But, man, who's ever doing the interior design there at the Oval Office, and if it's at Trump's behest, I tip my cap. You guys nailed it. You guys nailed it. It's got to be influenced by Trump. The guy loves gold. His whole penthouse is gold. You want to hear a funny one? Oh. So, I guess it was like 2 or 3 months ago, you had the president of FIFA at the White House. And they're spotlighting that trophy that was sitting at the White House. I think it's still there. And so I guess they made two. And then there was some key exchange. There was some key exchange where Trump like had a key. And so there's a new conspiracy theory. This stuff is so wild. I can't help it. I just go down these rabbit holes, folks. I don't even know where I end up half the time. And then you get there, you're like, what the hell? It's like, where am I? You may have heard of the book by Ingersoll Lockwood about Baron Trump's magical adventures and Donald Trump, the king, and everything else. And there's old illustrations, and it's a blonde old king, looks like Trump. And it's Baron Trump, who's apparently a giant. It's all this other stuff. And people think it's all time traveling stuff, and they connect this book written in like the 1920s or something. It's like 100-year-old book. It has all these crazy connections to Donald Trump and Baron Trump, which it's like, yeah, you got to admit, the odds of that are crazy. So the new conspiracy theory, I bet you could probably find some stories on this. The new conspiracy theory, this is how whacked out it is. This is the crazy, bizarro world that we're in now. Because how are you going to, you can't make any other sense of it. As things just continue to get worse. Yeah, they've already found it. The FIFA trophy is actually a time machine. So this confirms the Ingersoll Lockwood time traveling Donald Trump. And then they say, see, it's the time machine from Ingersoll Lockwood's illustrations. It's the time machine from the movies like Contact and Terminator. And then there was another movie with, I think it was actually called Time Machine. What was the guy's name from Memento? You remember that actor's name from Memento? He was in a time travel movie. Same thing. He makes a time machine. It's the same thing. So now it's, and then he has this key. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's your key to the time machine. Well, maybe. Yeah, Guy Pearce. I think it's called Time Machine. And so I guess the president of FIFA is an alien. And he's given Trump the time traveling technology, and then he has the key to turn it on. Because how else are you going to make sense of any of it, right? I mean, you just, none of it makes any sense. So let's go with the alien who runs FIFA with the alien that runs the NBA, and they're giving Trump the time travel technology because, you know, he's saving the earth from the pedophile demons. And that's the only hope you got, folks. That's the only hope you got now. Because they're covering up the Epstein list. So no, the cover up is actually an intentional Streisand effect. And it's all part of a time traveling QAnon phenomenon. That's the only thing you got left. So I can't wait, folks. Are you ready to travel through time? I thought it would be like a phone booth or like a portal. Turns out it's just like a circular, like a gyro sphere. Should have known. The time machine was right in front of us the whole time. But look, that's Melania and Trump on the cover with the time machine and young Baron Trump. So it's all okay. Trump is a time traveler. The aliens have given him the technology. So everybody just go back to sleep. Wow, that must be a remake. So I guess the Guy Pearce one was a remake because that's the exact same time traveling machine, but with a different actor. So they did a remake of it. So there it is. It's okay, guys. Everybody relax. Trump's a time traveler saving us all. Everything's great. Everything is great. Only a time traveler could have such good taste. You know? Only a time traveler could have such strong taste. You know, there's some drama in the South Park world right now where they're having like some contract production disputes. But you know what is really needed? A South Park episode on the Epstein list. Might be the only thing that can save us now. But they're in a creative production contract debacle right now. So I don't know what is going to happen with that, with the great creators of South Park, one of the greatest shows of all time. All right, now. Oh, yeah. All right, let's look at some of this other news here. Gavin Newsom needs to be investigated for this. Speed rail. I don't know what else you can call it. It looks like blatant theft. Sean Duffy, travel secretary, Governor Gavin Newsom and California's high-speed rail boondoggle are the definition of government incompetence and possibly corruption. The price tag has gone from $33 billion to $135 billion with no completion date in sight. We gave every single L.A. and San Francisco resident almost 200 free flights for that much. That's why today we're pulling the plug on federal funding for this train to nowhere. They haven't even laid a single track. And then also, he did a Google search auto finish. Why has the California High-Speed Rail Project top auto completions cost taxpayers $15 billion? Not had a single track laid in 16 years. Experienced a $7 billion funding gap. Been a disaster during Newsom's tenure. Where did the money go? You want to do a show of force raid to help your approval rating? Go raid Gavin Newsom's office and figure out where the billions went. Here's the video they put out to go along with the story.
The project is estimated to cost $68 billion.
A new report shows California's high-speed rail project is costing taxpayers more than $3 million a day. The LA Times reports the budget has grown to $77 billion.
The cost for the project, though, has jumped to nearly $128 billion, much higher than the $33 billion voters approved in 2008.
The project is no longer a $33 billion project. The project's years and years behind. The project's wildly over budget. That doesn't mean it's a bad idea, but it is a bad idea not to be truthful about things.
Gavin Newsom is a bad idea, and so is California's high-speed rail boondoggle. It's now projected to cost $135 billion. For that price tag, we could give every single resident of L.A. and San Francisco almost 200 free flights. This is the definition of government incompetence and possibly corruption. That's why we're pulling the plug. No more federal funds for this high-speed train to nowhere. President Trump and I won't help Gavin Newsom waste your money.
Yeah, well, how about no more federal funds for California, period? I mean, let's get serious. Now, it's not all bad. It's not all bad from Gavin Newsom. He doesn't just steal federal funds. He's also willing to help a neighbor when a neighbor is in need. And so Gavin noticed that he had a neighbor of his who had a flat tire on his motorcycle. And so Gavin decided he would volunteer and bring out his air pump and help out his friend with a flat tire, guys. And luckily, the cameras were there to catch this heroic act from Gavin Newsom. And so it's not all bad. Newsom also gives back. Newsom is also willing to help out a neighbor in need. So guys, let's go ahead and see clip 17 here. Gavin Newsom helping his friend inflate his tire. So see, it's not all bad with Gavin. Gavin can help a friend in need. And he's really good at inflating tires. I mean, he's really got that motion down. You got to give it to him. You got to give it to him for that. So, Yeah, maybe they stole a couple billion dollars on a fake high-speed rail project. But at least he's there to pump your tire when it's flat and really put in an effort. They talk about elbow grease, but with Gavin Newsom, it's a totally different kind of grease. Whatever's left over from his hair, he puts down by his derriere and just goes to work. And so let's just give Gavin Newsom the good press when it's deserved. And he will help you inflate your tire and more if you need it, in the future. So it's not all bad with Gavin. And if he does run for president, we'll make sure that, he gets credit for inflating his neighbor's tire. Great job, Gavin. Well done. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts. You want to talk about power. You talk about strength. Talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
where the hidden agendas are laid bare. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, I had already scheduled my next guest, Christian Briggs, to talk about the Genius Act, central bank digital currencies, and then some action that was happening at the Hill today, and then this just broke moments ago. House passes crypto market structure bill after GOP revolt. The House passed legislation today laying out regulatory rules for the crypto industry after GOP leadership managed to stem a revolt from competing factions in the conference that brought the floor to a standstill and left the crypto legislation in limbo. The digital Asset Market Clarity Act cleared the House 294 to 134 with 78 House Democrats joining the Republicans to support it. After hours of negotiations and the longest House vote on record, it was 9 hours they broke the record. I guess it went over that now. Leadership agreed to add the anti-CBDC provisions to the National Defense Authorization Act, giving it a better chance of reaching Trump's desk. Now, I was talking to General Flynn earlier about this, and I asked him if he was doing interviews, and he said, no, but you should get Christian on. He's an expert on this. Shared with me Christian's contact, got in touch with him, and now he joins me on the show. So as we were discussing earlier, Christian, you know, I'm really just going to be asking you the questions and having you get into your perspective on all of this. So I suppose we'll start here. You know, the issues of central bank digital currency, I think, are pretty well understood by this audience. But is it well understood by Congress? Does Congress understand the real issues that we face? And is that why this was a record long voting process?
Well, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the show. So, yeah, they recognize everything that they're currently doing in such a manner that they knew that if they had not put this legislation through, that on the world stage of crypto, especially within the stablecoin, which I want to try to make sure everyone understands, stablecoin is basically just another version of an algorithm or a tokenization of a asset that you use to buy and sell with. What was interesting about the way the whole crypto thing and the reason why it took 9 hours or 10 hours and all that kind of stuff was, there was absolutely a definitive need to clarify better understanding of the regulation. So the reason it took so long is the House determined that the Genius Act was a good bill, but it needed a little more language and they could not go back to the Senate and get the Democrats to vote for it. So they determined that the language had to be put into the anti-CBDC bill. And then they also put some additional clarification in the Clarity Act that would prevent the CBDC from happening because the Genius Act was a good bill written by good people, but there might have been some nefarious people sometime in the future, like another administration, that could tweak it and then launch a centralized programmable money, basically, where they could determine if you want to buy or if you can buy or sell anything, travel or whatever. So that's what happened in the last 3 days.
Well, I'm going to try to connect that to this question, but this is more of an open-ended question, I think, for general understanding. And I'm not really a big crypto guy. I kind of have an outside understanding of it. I talk to a lot of people in the crypto community. You know, my best interpretation from a layman standpoint is we're trying to have a unique independent asset that we can trade with, use as a currency, and really, you know, ultimately escape from the fiat currency, escape from the central currency. So I'm looking at all of this debate and I'm thinking, doesn't this whole process kind of destroy the purpose here? It's like if we go to the beach and we just decide, all right, we're going to start trading in seashells. So we all go to the beach and start gathering up and we've all got these seashells and we're going to start trading in seashells. Well, then here comes the government and says, oh, this is great. We're going to regulate and write legislation and get involved in your seashell trade practice. And you'd be saying, no, this has nothing to do with you. We don't want your regulation. We don't want anything to do with it. So why is the government even involved with this? What is the purpose of this?
Well, okay. Those are some great questions, and there are actually multiple answers within that one topic or that one thing that you're asking. Why are we getting involved in this is a plethora of answers, but let me start at the beginning first, and then I'm going to make sure that I tie it all into the question that you just asked me. This all started in 2018 during Trump's first administration. Well, he was being distracted with baloney hoaxes of Russian collusion and impeachment processes. The Federal Reserve was secretly working on a project called the Hamilton Project from the New York and the Boston Fed buildings. What I had found out and brought to the attention of certain and select members of the Congress in the United States Senate and in the House was that the Federal Reserve was working behind the scenes and usurping Congress's ultimate authority to issue new money, which is currency. Even in digital form, they must get the approval of legislative body of Congress, Senate, and of course, and the House in order to send or to provide new forms of money. Well, the Federal Reserve took it upon themselves to redefine money instead of saying retail being, you know, you and I would use it. They did commercial central bank digital currency building. And so when I found out about it, I brought it to the attention of members of Congress and they were not aware of this. And once they started doing their investigation, they figured out, holy cow, this is really happening. And it's happening under a clandestine operation called the Hamilton Project was the first. They were also working in cahoots with the Bank of International Settlements early as 2016, about the same time that Obama was getting out and Trump was getting in. And then they accelerated it during Trump's first term, fearing that they might have to get this delivered and deployed sometime if he was to win a second term. That's why they were so nefarious in their actions to try to get Trump in a position where he would not be able to get in a second term, which we now know that in 2020 cheated on the election. So with that said, let's fast forward. So during the Biden administration, Joe Biden signed an executive order. God knows he probably didn't use the real pen, but an auto pen. And he expanded, accelerated, and made sure that the central bank digital currency was being implemented or certainly being built in order to be deployed sometime either at the end of his first term or into his second term at the time before Kamala was determined to be the candidate. Now, the reason we're doing this is one reason. When you go back and you actually can look at the Affordable Care Act, listen to this. This is where it all started. It started when Obama took office in 2009, when Bitcoin became something of a novelty, and then it kind of mushroomed into where it's at. Obama wanted two things, two structural changes in the way of which the United States would go from a republic to a democracy, because it's a republic. It's a constitutional run by laws, not democracy run by what I consider to be majority of emotions. He wanted two things to happen. One, he wanted Bitcoin to be the precursor to the central bank digital currency. In order to do that, he had to get it out and get people conditioned to use it and then program them as an everyday piece of your life. It's called consumption and then adoption. So you consume it so much that you adopt it as everyday. So Bitcoin was not started by somebody in an apartment in Newport Beach, like some people think. It was started by multiple different agencies that collaborated together in order to condition people to start thinking digital. Second thing he did, which was brilliant, is, and again, this would have turned money into a communist, and I'm going to quote Senator Bill Hagerty, Tim Scott, Congressman Warren Davidson, we would have been pure communism had this central bank digital currency been issued. The second thing he did to try to, again, socialize, communize, and some people will argue back and forth, but I'm not sure what the difference is much anymore, he wanted to socialize, communize medicine and healthcare. So that's where the Affordable Care Act came. So he initiated two things that he thought would bring America down to its knees and be more in line and consistent with the rest of the world. Well, all of this continued to happen, and then it formulated into what we consider today to be the revolution of digital transactions. And the reason why that Bitcoin took off so much was once people realized that we were going to lose our cash transactions capabilities, checks and cash. It was a certainty, just not sure what the time was. Bitcoin became the go-to alternative form of transactionable assets. And now here we are today. And the difference between a Bitcoin or any kind of a cryptocurrency, which is completely different than a CBDC, is real simple. And I'm explaining it so everybody can get this. Bitcoin trades on what they call a decentralized ledger or decentralized platform. Decentralized means that it can work with anonymity. It can go anywhere And short of something nefarious in a wallet or something that would be bad, it pretty much runs its own ways of which the users at the end, from the buyer or the seller or the person that's holding it, determines where they want it to go. Centralized systems are centralizing it in a what they call a, like a closed loop environment. That closed loop environment allows somebody at the very top to pull a lever where a decentralized open source, consider it to be, can go anywhere, anytime. The owner of that asset, the Bitcoin, or if it's Cardano, or if it's XRP, whatever it may be that you trade in, those are decentralized systems. And you can push those anywhere you want. However, when you get into centralized system, that's programmable money. That means somebody at the very top centralizing the power, centralizing the money in an environment that they can determine that you're not going to spend that money. So now fast forward. Here we are today. About 60% of all transactions are now what? Digital. We have been programmed to accept an algorithm as value in exchange for something of value, whether you're buying gold, a car, or you're just buying something simple at Walmart. The reason why it was a rush to market was simple. The world is changing to digital format, whether it's hybrid, central, decentral, full central, but there's very few decentral systems that are going to be running in governments, because governments can't control a full decentralized system that runs with anonymity. Okay. It runs with freedom. So in Europe, come October, it's expected that they're going to launch a central bank digital currency, a CBDC. And if you go online, there's clear evidence. Not only have they built this thing, but they're ready to deploy it because it's been in beta since April. And the Bank of International Settlements, which is the bank of banks, I'm sure many of your users or listeners have gone online and probably at some point listened to various people and yourself. I know Alex and everybody and Owen, you have talked about this. We are working within an environment where about 60% of the world is going to centralize their monetary systems. We need to be ahead of that curve. And so applauding Tim Scott, Senator Hagerty, to be able to get this through. Now, in saying that, the Genius Act was a well-written bill. It had a couple things that needed to be clarified. And what they did was they clarified some additional language to prevent a central bank centralized coin or centralized digital currency to be deployed at any time in the future. Because good, people need to know, as good as Trump is, he's not going to be around forever. He can't be around another 20 years or 30 years as president. So the thought was in the Clarity Act, as well as the Anti-CBDC Act, which was pretty much the House Financial Services Committee, Warren Davidson and his colleagues were in charge of making sure that the language was put into those two bills that was appropriate to prevent somebody in the future, an administration, let's just say for what it is, that would then be able to turn the tables, almost like switching a lever, okay, pulling a lever, switching a switch, and turning it in from a decentral, hybrid, central to a full central, where control could be a part of the equation. And that's the big picture, but there's more to the story as we drill down.
Well, let me try to make it understandable or processable, yeah, consumable for the average person here. It's like, how would it apply to me? If I'm somebody that is a big believer in crypto, you know, Bitcoin or whatever it is, and ultimately the goal is to say we have an independent cryptocurrency where the government doesn't have oversight or involvement. Well, obviously, if you're the IRS or any government entity, you're thinking, well, okay, hold on a second. You know, these government gangsters are thinking, hold on a second, where's my cut? You know, they want their cut. When you work and get paid, they want their cut. When you buy something, they want your cut. When you own something, they want their cut. So they're always looking for a way to get their cut. So isn't that what we should be trying to avoid here? Shouldn't we be trying to avoid the government getting their cut in this process, or is that really what this is all about? Is that the general fight here? Is that me and you can say, hey, I really like that. I really like that car that you have. You say, oh, well, you know what? I'm actually trying to sell it. And I say, well, okay, how about 2 Bitcoin? You say, oh, okay, great. I give you 2 Bitcoin. You give me the car. The deal is done. Well, the government's going to say, hey, hold up. Where's my cut? You guys owe me some money here. Is that the general way to put this fight?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, that is a good way of explaining it, but it goes deeper than that. One of the things the Genius Act was incorporated to do was not just to stabilize the understanding and the regulation of stable coins, which is basically a token that would back something. Okay. You have what they call stablecoin PAX, P-A-X. Those are gold-backed stablecoins. You have stablecoins that are backed by treasuries or deposits, cash on deposit at various financial institutions or any lender, now that you're going to be required to be a bank to hold third-party. So third-party assets or custodial accounts. The question you have here is, how does the government get its cut? Well, the Genius Act was built and written in such a way to be able to stabilize again what we are going into the next, I mean, look, this is bigger than electricity. I've said this 3-4 years ago. I've heard people actually use this again in my words. It is a revolutionary way of which to transact. And for 5,000 years, whether you use seashells or gold or silver or land, or in the case of how we bought the Manhattan Island from the Manhattan Indians, you know, it was basically a bunch of beads from the locals. We are now going into something that is not physical. We are transitioning from the paper, the hard assets, to a algorithm. Now, the short-term value of this bill, this legislation of Genius Act, let's just talk about the Genius Act first, is to bring together the understanding that people will buy the stablecoin, they will buy these, they'll be issued by financial institutions that have the license and have the right of which by the federal government's own policies and regulations to issue these stablecoins. We can buy them. You buy them. I can buy them. Those then will be shored up. The money that you use to buy those will shore up the short-term treasury market. They'll be buying treasuries as a backstop to the stablecoins. That would help bring interest rates down without artificially asking or trying to get the Fed to lower rates, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Then all of a sudden, the rates come down. We now can ultimately see a lower deficit spending because we're not paying as much interest every day, every week, every month, what have you, on the debt, especially the short-term debt. Long-term debt is still a problematic, but at least short-term we can get a handle on. And the crypto industry will be huge and it'll bring GDP. I'm not sure the numbers yet. I'm actually working on that to see what the impact's going to be of this bill. But the bottom line is, had President Trump not won this term, let me tell you how bad it was going to get and who are the bad actors. I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to probably ruffle some feathers, but I don't really care. So if you look close at Ripple, okay, and you do your homework, go online, look at Ripple CBDC, Amazon CBDC, you look at BIS CBDC, Citibank, you look at all of these different companies, and we've got white papers on all of them that they produce, MasterCard, Visa, they all were back in the moat in thinking, we're going to backstop the central bank digital currency. President Trump will not be coming back a second term. This is what their thought pattern was. This is horrible, horrible things that they did. And President Trump knew this was going on. And kudos to him for staying the course. That shows the integrity and character of the man. And he knew he had to get into the office. This was one of his primary goals outside the big, beautiful bill, which obviously helped on the taxes and small businesses. But there were bad actors that were formulating a plan. And this is not conjecture opinion. This is fact. And I brought this to the attention of Congress. A number of different senators got on board with the House members. And we did our homework. And we determined that this was being done and built in around Congress's own authority. And what happened then was we knew at some point that this was going to become the law of the land had Kamala won. I never thought she could win. But in the event she did, this was bad because there was an interview in February of this year where the CEO of Ripple actually was talking about this with some of his colleagues and other people within the industry, where somebody among the group had basically said clearly, had Kamala won, the platform, it's called FedNow, was the gateway to insert a CBDC, which, mind you, was already built. The Federal Reserve had already built this thing and tied it directly into the BIS. Members of the House actually toured and went to the BIS last year and we confirmed all this about a year ago and told me personally. And they said that the Federal Reserve thought that they had the authority. Even Powell said in open testimony a number of years ago, they could launch a commercial CBDC, but not a retail. And they're right. But think about this. There's like 90% of small businesses have commercial accounts. So if you go commercial, well, okay, now you got 90% of the country. And then they were going to, if Kamala won, they were going to backstop. They gave her $11 million. One of the founders of Ripple or co-founder, somebody within the Ripple organization or close to it. I want to make sure I'm very clear about this and don't overstep it, but somebody close, because it was an interview that was actually published online that we discovered, had donated $11 million to Kamala's campaign in the anticipation she would win and then they could get this deal done. And that's why XRP is doing so well. They ultimately want centralized systems. It monopolizes financial policies. The problem is that's communism. In the words of Congressman Warren Davidson of Ohio, just today he said a CBDC is nothing but pure communism. It's programmable money that limits the owner, and not even the owner. You're just a person who might have it. The real owner is the federal government or any kind of a third party custodial holder. So we had to get this done because the rest of the world wants to go centralized. That would have hurt us in the long run. This is going to help in so many ways. One, it's going to make our short-term debt, our treasuries more attractive, which could very easily bring down interest rates. Second, it's going to help bring down the deficit spending, and it beats the European markets to what they're already going to be doing, which is inevitability. They're planning on launching a CBDC this October. So people may not realize it in the front end. Okay. I've always said, like Warren Buffett, I like to kind of use some of his own words because he's very smart. You don't see everything the first day, but that doesn't mean what you don't see today isn't already in process. And that's basically how he talks about long-term investing. So I'm kind of paraphrasing it. What today's actions with the clarity, this anti-CBDC bill and the Genius bill or Genius Act, all of them getting done was incredible because it was bipartisan support. Once the Democrats realized, hey, you're not immune to this centralized system. You don't have a get out of jail card free people. They could turn on you as easily as they turn on anybody. Anybody in the power of an administration, the auto pen proves you can almost do anything once you're in that Oval Office. So Trump did two incredible things since he's taken office. One, he passed the BBB bill. Two, he got all three of these crypto acts done. Now, there was obviously some changes to some of the wording that would better protect what this whole thing was about. And I like to think that a lot of people understood we needed that fundamental changing of some of the language to kind of tighten it up a little bit. That's what committees are for. That's what the two houses or the two chambers of commerce or Congress are for. It's like the power of people, right? The more people you have in a room, the generalization is that the ideas will flow better. They'll have better recognition for the understanding of the opinions of the people in the room. Then that's what happened. We literally saw something that could have gone the other way quickly, but because they took the time to really understand any areas that may have had some holes in them in a way that could be exploited, because sometimes you don't see the ramifications of the bills until what Nancy Pelosi once said, let's just pass the bill and then we'll figure out what's in it. Not this time. The Warren Davidson, Mike Johnson, Trent Kelly, and there's a number of other, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. All of these people took the time to make sure the language was right. And I know there's many others, and I don't want to ever say that those were the only ones because even the Democrats jumped on this. So what I'm saying to you today is, today was a monumental day for the understanding that the United States is going to lead in digital asset transactionable tokens. And this is going to be one of the largest opportunities for investors in the crypto industry, in the AI industry, in any of the technology. Look at the chip market. This is going to make America better and greater than ever before. And it all stems by just one thing, and that is we acted first.
So just to keep it simple, because you probably just spoke a foreign language to most of the audience, does it keep us, I got 20 seconds, so just yes or no, okay, for two questions. Does it keep us out of a communist central bank digital currency, and does it keep the crypto market free?
Yes. Yep. And you can thank both Tim Scott, Senator Hagerty from the Senate, as the authors, Warren Davidson, French Hill, and a number of others on the House side.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.